Women's Committee, its main task and its main aim was to disseminate information about what was happening with women and women in the struggle in particular, because that was an area that wasn't talked about much. And women in South Africa in particular, but we also, don't forget, talk about Namibia and countries affected by apartheid, so Angola, Mozambique, and so on. Many, many women in South Africa who were working as domestics in white South African homes, or working in factories, doing things like sewing, you know, making clothes and so on. They didn't have, they weren't as well organized as some of the men. And because also, if you're working in a house, there is very little in terms of colleague solidarity. You're on your own. You might be the nurse or the nanny to little kids, but you're pretty much on your own. So it is, or you're cleaner in the house or something. So it was much more difficult for them, frankly, to organise collectively, and therefore to be able to call for things collectively. And also, many women were husbands and fathers and so on. Their husbands and fathers were migrant workers, so they would live in the village, the women and the children, and they would hardly ever see their men. Their men would be off in the mines, usually on in factories, in the large towns, and they would stay there. They would be put up in barracks there, basically. So, again, they were isolated from any way of organising. So, many women, I think their voices were so strong, but were not being heard. And any things that they were doing and the campaigns they were running were not being talked about. So the Women's Committee was very focused on trying to get that voice known here, at least. So we used to have a newsletter called Malibongwe, and that tried to put forward what was happening in relation to women in South and Southern Africa. And we were working with the ANC Women's League UK section here. And some of those amazing women are still here today, still help out with the South African High Commission, and still see them when I go over there. But they were, you know, would give us information about what was happening, about whether there were any trade unions that were supporting women, or were women trade unions, or any campaigns, because many of the past law campaigns were run by women. Some of the calls to boycott certain things were run by women. In South Africa, they were active. It was just not always talked about or known about. So, you know, giving them the profile that they deserved and recognised, and also trying to explain some of the barriers that they had to organising, and also celebrating the fact that in the Freedom Charter, the Freedom Charter is an amazing document. I don't know if you've read it; it's just amazing. Considering the time when it was written, how open it is to all types. And one of the things it said very clearly right from the beginning is non-sexist, you know, non-racist, non-sexist South Africa. We're talking something that was created, I think in the 50s it started being created on here. So celebrating that, you know, and trying to make that a reality. In actual fact, a lot of the discussions we used to have with the ANC Women's League was, whether we're interesting, because we as feminists thought that there ought to be a particular feminist role, women's role within the struggle. And they were saying, no, actually, this struggle at the moment with apartheid, we can't be devising, we can't be making divisions between men and women. We need to all pull together at this time. Come the revolution, things will change. So we were having those kinds of discussions with them, because some of us were like, you're in big trouble now, you need to do something about all the sexist men. Now, surely, this is the time of change. And they were saying, no, at the moment, we're focusing on apartheid. So it's kind of interesting dialogues with them.